is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Natasha Devon.
A very good evening to you. It's coming up to 4 minutes after seven, and you are listening to Natasha Devon here on LBC. Now, in his speeches this week, Joe Biden has been described as defiant. He's expressed no regret for America's chaotic and humiliating withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was quickly, as we know, overrun by the Taliban and put thousands of Afghans who work for the US forces in danger, as well as wiping out human rights gains for millions of women and girls, which is something that we discussed on the show yesterday evening, if you were listening then. The president has insisted that he is following the will of the American people and could not justify shedding more American blood and spending more of their treasure. He also appeared to attempt to blame the Afghan National Army for lacking the will to fight. And this was something that was described as shameful by the British politician Tom Tugendhat, who served as an army officer in Afghanistan. But putting the content aside, the tone and delivery of Biden's speech, part of which we brought to you live when we were on air yesterday evening, has also been criticised in some quarters. A piece in today's Daily Mail said he flubbed his words. I'm not sure that flubbed is a word, but we'll go with it. Their word, not mine. And offered a series of chaotic contradictions. So I want to ask you this evening, how do you think that Biden has handled this unexpected crisis in Afghanistan? Do you think that this is something that is going to define his entire presidency, even though it's only really just begun? And if, like me, you were just so glad to see the back of Trump, that you welcomed Biden with open arms, you were a fan of Biden, has this taken the shine off a little bit? 0345 6060973 is the number to call. You can text 84850 or tweet at LBC. Well, we're joined now by LBC's Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Welcome to the show, Simon. As you just heard, the Daily Mail said today that Biden's responses to journalists were floundering and forgetful. They also said that he's contradicted a report from the Pentagon by stating that Al-Qaeda is no longer present in Afghanistan. Do you think that that's a fair assessment?
Well, I think, first of all, the important thing to underscore, Natasha, is yesterday's speech was basically what they call in America a do-over following Tuesday and Wednesday's disastrous appearances by Joe Biden. Tuesday, when he made a statement at the White House, and then Wednesday, when he gave an absolutely compassion-free, empathy-free, frankly callous interview to ABC News that in the edited version seemed to be so lacking in empathy that I actually thought, well, maybe they cut the empathetic bit out. Mm. And then the following morning, they published the entire transcript of the interview. And indeed, at no point did he express any condolences for the loss of those Afghan lives when those people fell to their deaths from the C-17 that they were clinging to in a bid to get out of the country. Not even any sympathies directed in the direction of American families, thousands of them, wondering if their loved ones are going to get back from Afghanistan. So yesterday was an attempt at least to sound empathetic and compassionate, which he did. He said the scenes had been heartbreaking, that no human being couldn't be unaffected by what he described as gut-wrenching images that we'd seen over the last week. But he also at times seemed absolutely out of touch with the reality. He insists any Americans who want to get to the airport can get to the airport. This is what he said yesterday.
To the best of our knowledge, the Taliban checkpoints, they are letting through people showing American passports. Now, that's a different question when they get into the rush and crowd of all the folks just outside the wall near the airport.
But his own defense secretary was telling members of Congress yesterday afternoon that's absolutely not the case. The Taliban are stopping, harassing, and in some cases beating up American citizens, as well as, of course, as Afghans, and blocking their way to the airport. Within the last couple of hours, it's become apparent that the United States is now increasingly concerned about the threat of an attempted act of terrorism at the airport, targeting American soldiers, with rumours spreading through the crowd, being spread through the crowd by the Taliban, that Islamic State is considering some form of terror strike on the airport. And as you've seen the pictures from Kabul today, the security situation around that airfield is just desperate. And I think the question increasingly is not whether Joe Biden's going to extend this military operation beyond August the 31st, but whether they're going to get to August the 31st. They don't know how many Americans they still have to evacuate. The president has never really made an absolutely firm commitment to keep the evacuation mission going if at some point they conclude they've taken all the Americans out that want to leave, but there are still tens of thousands of Afghans waiting to leave. So far, they've only managed to evacuate 2,500 Americans of the 17,000 people that they've brought out over the last week. So there's still an enormous task ahead, but it's not clear that they can accomplish it.
I mean, we know that it was Obama who first promised that U.S. forces would leave Afghanistan in 2014. It was Trump who signed the somewhat optimistically named peace agreement with the Taliban. And then it's Biden who's seen it through. So all of these presidents have been adamant that they were acting according to the wishes of the American people. I wonder, putting aside the logistical issues that you've just described of U.S. citizens being unable to leave the country, in terms of the decision in of itself, is the mood, I don't know if celebratory is the word, but is it something that's supported by the American people?
Well, he wanted it to be celebratory, which is why he set that entirely arbitrary date of August the 31st for the completion of the American troop withdrawal. He wanted to be able to celebrate on the 20th anniversary of September the 11th, the end to America's longest war. That clearly now is off the table. What Joe Biden is doing is wagering, as you suggest, that the average American sitting at home doesn't really care very much about Afghanistan and will at the end of the day say, well, at least he did what he said he was going to do and end America's military involvement there. Mm. But he's furnished his critics, who now include opinion editorial writers within the Washington Beltway, who previously were supportive of Joe Biden, with enormous amounts of ammunition, literal ammunition. He's leaving $85 billion worth of weaponry, including some of it very, very high-tech stuff that the Chinese and the Russians would love to have a look at firsthand. He's leaving that on the Afghan battlefield to fall into the hands of the Taliban, Islamic State, who knows who's going to get their hands on it. Explaining that to the American people, if you're an opponent of Joe Biden as we head towards next year's midterm elections, is not going to be a difficult thing to accomplish. So I think that he's placing this bet that the American people are going to be with him in a highly polarized society that is absolutely divided, as we know, between people who believe in facts and people who accept increasingly conspiracy theories and misinformation. Mm. And he doesn't know where this is all going to end because he's not the master of his own destiny. If you've got time, Natasha, can I take you back to July the 9th? Because I know you're going to talk about what is the impact of all of this on Afghan women.
Mm, I am,
And it is fascinating. I've been waiting for an opportunity to use this sound clip again. Take you back to July the 9th, when Joe Biden, July the 8th, rather, when Joe Biden announced that he wanted all the American troops out by August the 31st at the White House. And there was an Afghan woman reporter in the room, and listen to this exchange between Joe Biden and this Afghan reporter.
Any message, good message for Afghan women in future, because they have achievement, they are really concerned about their achievement.
They are very concerned, with good reason.
Yes.
When I was in Afghanistan, I've been there a number of times. I remember being in a school. I said, you know, the United States came here to make sure that we got this terrorist Osama bin Laden and that terrorist didn't amass again to go after our country. And then we're going to have to leave. And a young woman said, you can't leave. You can't leave. It was heartbreaking. You can't leave. She said, I want to be a doctor. If you leave, I'll never be able to be a doctor. Well, that's why we spent so much time and money training the Afghan security forces to do the work of defending that. Yes, I'm aware.
Absolutely extraordinary clip that. He's grabbed by an Afghan woman who says to him during one of his trips to Afghanistan, don't leave. I want to be a professional. You know, I want to be a doctor. And he acknowledges that it was heart-wrenching. But then he can't even complete the story at the end there and disappears and doubles down and insists that we're leaving anyway. It's a very interesting window into who he is.
I was going to ask you about women because Biden has previously said, I read, that the peace agreement brokered by Trump wasn't what he would have hoped to negotiate. And the United Nations has noted that it made no reference to human rights or women. Is there any indication that Biden will be able to revisit or reverse that agreement at any point in the future?
Well, he could have revisited it and reversed it on January the 22nd when he became, on the 21st, the afternoon of the 21st when he became president. I mean, this argument that they were stuck with this agreement that Donald Trump had signed with the Taliban, well, Donald Trump didn't think that he was stuck with the Iran nuclear deal or didn't think that he was stuck with the Paris Climate Change Accords. He tore them both up. Mm. Now, that damaged America's credibility on the world stage, and it would have been further damaged had an American president ripped up another agreement that had been signed. But look at the amount of damage that has been done by the events of the last 2 weeks to his credibility. His argument is that once American troops are out, once this messy withdrawal is over, the United States is going to be a clarion voice for human rights from outside Afghanistan, from over the horizon. But the problem with that is that even compassionate members of his administration, like Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, who at one point this week, she'd been very, very involved in working with Afghan women over the last 20 years, at one point this week almost looked like she was going to break down at the podium at the State Department as she talked about the future of Afghan women. They know that once you're out of the country, once you're essentially dark from an intelligence perspective, because who on earth, which Afghan is ever going after this? To volunteer to work with the United States, assist them, provide information to them in a highly dangerous environment. Your ability then to effect change on the ground inside Afghanistan is going to be rather similar to your ability to effect change in Iran or in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's not going to be active. And, you know, if you've seen the interviews, as I'm sure you have, with a whole variety of women's rights leaders in Afghanistan in a variety of fields, they are furious, bitterly disappointed, and in many cases terrified. And the United States will have no ability to do very much to help them once now they've got no ability. You know, it's over.
Mm. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent there. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Your thoughts on Biden's response to Afghanistan coming up. You're listening to Natasha Devon on LBC, and the time is 7:17.